Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. I am your host, Looney Lewis, and today I have the honor of bringing a special guest to the show. I was on his podcast, and now I'm bringing it on just to keep the conversation going. I want to bring on today Ollie West. Ollie is the founder of Kinetic Fitness, which is a 900-square-foot gym in Nottingham, UK, and the host of the Kinetic Fitness Show podcast. When he was younger, he played semi-professional football, also known as soccer here in the U.S. He had to stop pursuing his football career in 2006 due to an injury. This led him to embark on a career of coaching and helping others to better themselves. He has 11 years of experience in the fitness industry and the systems and expertise that he has developed, which allowed him to help every client and member at Kinetic with online to achieving amazing results. Ali, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. How are you?
I'm blessed. I'm so happy to have you on the show. And I want to talk about, of course, the podcast and the gym and the amazing changes that your clients are getting. But I'm curious, tell us a little bit about your journey and what happened, that injury that kind of shifted your whole direction.
Yeah, well, my background and my growing up history was all centered around football or soccer, as you guys call it. And then back in around about 2006, I suffered a ruptured ACL, which for people that don't know, that's your anterior cruciate ligament.
Are you there?
And that governs, there's a lot of rotation and there's a lot of sideways movement in sports. So if you don't have your ACL, you're going to find it very difficult to play any sports, whether that's soccer, American football, tennis, anything. So that put me out of the game for about 2 years. And during that time, I needed to look at other alternatives, knowing that I probably wasn't going to make a career out of playing soccer. So I kind of fell into the fitness industry. One of my friends recommended that I take a personal training course, which I did. And that was kind of an intensive course. I was lucky enough to secure a job at a large scale health club. So kind of like your Gold's Gym over there. It was a big space. Worked there for 3 years from 2008 till 2011, building up a really strong client base, learning my trade, coaching people, training people. And then in 2011, I went out on my own, set up my own personal training business, did that for 5 years consistently. And then in 2017, I opened my own gym here in my hometown of Nottingham in the UK. Called Kinetic Fitness, and we've been going strong ever since. And then back in 2018, I launched my podcast, The Kinetic Fitness Show. That's going strong as well. So all is good, really. And then we've just recently launched the online side of our business as well. So from April this year, we've been coaching people online as well. So we're able to help people in person, face-to-face, but also in an online capacity as well.
Yeah, that's some interesting background. really appreciate you sharing. So, after the injury, you sought out a way to add value, it sounds like, right? You wanted to heal yourself, but then you fell in love with the coaching piece of it, the physical fitness piece of it, and you wanted to be able to help other people heal in that same way.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I've always been somebody that wants to help people and support people. And I knew that coaching was a great way to do that. And when I started doing it, I realized I had a passion for it, but not only had a passion, that I was good at it as well. So, I mean, my journey's evolved over the last, I don't know, 12 years or so, but I wouldn't have changed it for anything, because it's taught me so many things and so many life lessons. And I've helped probably thousands of people now to really change their life and improve their overall well-being.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that yours is a holistic approach. It's all encompassing in a way, right? Because you provide at Kinetic, you provide nutritional support, you provide a mindset growth outside of the gym. So tell us about the services more.
For sure. I mean, my approach and our approach is very much centered, as you said, around holistic health and holistic well-being. So for me, that means that you've got to look after and you've got to improve your mind, your body, and your spirit. So I don't think you can have one without the other. You've got to have all three if you want to be healthy. So we take a focused approach on all three of those areas. So we make sure that we're looking after the mindset. So how can we get people in a positive mindset? How can we make changes that are going to improve that mind element of their health? Then obviously the body is a huge part. That's why most people tend to come and see us or tend to reach out for my help, is because of that body aspect. So that to me encompasses exercise and movement and stretching and all those kind of elements that affect the body. But also nutrition is part of the body as well. So what people are physically eating, consuming, putting in their mouth. And then my spiritual journey started in 2015. So now I help people to improve that side of their health as well. So maybe that kind of higher power, you could say, and trying to make them kind of spiritually clean and help them with that spiritual aspect of their health as well. So for me, it's that three-pronged attack, like the mind, body, and spirit. And I think when you can kind of get good health in all of those areas, then you're onto a winner and you're going to live a longer, healthier, happier, and more joyful life.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You really can't. You got to find that balance, because if you're focused too much on the fitness, what other ball are you dropping, right? You think you're juggling all the three, four balls, glass balls in the air. And if you devote too much time to just the physical fitness and not the mental fitness, that's a sacrifice you make altogether. And I bet you find that people come to you saying, okay, I want to tone up, I want to build muscle, or I want to lose weight. And then behind that, you have to do some like mindset blockage, right? Remove some blockage that's stopping them from keeping up with the program or regimen that you have put in place for them. Do you find that in your case?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the three most common goals that people have when it comes to health and well-being are, you nailed it really, they want to lose weight, they either want to lose weight, get fit, or tone up. They're the three main goals. So people come and say that, but when they say that, they don't really mean that. Do you know what I mean? That's not what they mean. Really, you've got to dig deeper and you've got to really get in the mind of that individual to find out what they really want. And most of the time, what they want is connected to emotion. It's an emotional goal that they're seeking. So when they say they want to lose weight, they really want to look good on the beach, or they want to look in the mirror and be happy with what they see, or they want their partner to give them compliments. That's what they really want. And it's the same with getting fit. They don't want to get fit. They want to be able to run up the stairs without getting out of breath, or run and chase the bus without feeling like they're going to die.
Right.
So it's all about going deeper and tapping into that person's mind, and also asking the right questions so that you can find out on a deeper level what they really, really want. So the mind is so, so important, and digging into that is really, really important, because they can do all the exercise in the world and they can start to change their diet. Their mind is all screwed up, then they're not going to get the results they're ultimately after.
Yeah, I like that you called it the emotional goal. That's what's behind it. Initially, I really like that. Tell us about the busy professionals, right? Those who are working their day job, they don't have time for the gym, and they don't have time for the body. How do you help transform their energy level? right? Their mindset and their body. How do you make it work for a busy professional?
Yeah, well, I think that's the biggest excuse or the biggest barrier you could say to people who are in that kind of busy environment. If they're working 9 to 5 or 9 to 10 or these crazy long hours that people work, that's the biggest barrier that they put up. So why aren't you achieving your goals? Why aren't you getting the result that you're after? Why are you not the weight that you want to be? And 9 times out of 10, people will say, oh, it's time. I don't have time. I'm too busy. I'm working crazy hours. But not just that, I've got a family to juggle. And they're spinning all of these plates. So really, it's many, many different aspects. You can't put it all down to one thing. But where we start with them is we get them to really think about their goals on that deepest level, as we've said. So it's really digging deep, finding out what they really want to achieve. And then we start to look at their calendar and their diary and when can they find opportunities to become healthier. So that might be something as simple as what I like to call exercise windows or movement windows. So where in your day can you get movement in or get exercise in? And when people really look at their calendars, look at their diaries, look at their schedules, there will be small opportunities to add in movement, to eat healthy, to gain more sleep. All of these things that we know are really important for health and well-being, there will be slots and there will be gaps in people's diaries. We have, 162 hours in a week. I'm sure people can find 1 to 2 hours a week to move. It's not that much in the grand scheme of things. So that's what we start to do with people. We look at their diaries, how can they fit it in? But what we've developed is we've developed a methodology when it comes to exercise where they don't need hours and hours in a gym. We can give somebody anything from 9 minutes to 30 minutes, 3 to 4 times a week, and they will still get the results thereafter because of the methodology of training that we use.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's really good. And when it comes to nutrition, we get people to get really, really super organized with their food. So if they are crazy busy, they don't have a lot of time on their hands, we again get them to prepare their meals and make simple meals that they can make in, again, like 10 to 15 minutes. So it's not going to take too much time. They can do it in bulk. They can batch cook and batch prepare their food. And we coach and educate people so they can get the results that they're after. So when it comes to busy people, that is the people that we work with. That's our niche. That's our demographic of clientele. So we have to know and have to understand that they are crazy busy. They're not just working busy, their family busy as well. Mm-hmm. So we have to fit the program around their lifestyle. So when any client starts working with us in a one-to-one environment, when it's coaching, whether that be online or physically in the gym, we have to really get into their lifestyle and understand them and understand how their life pans out and then individualize and tailor that program around them because one person is not the same as the next, as the next, as the next. So it's got to be an individualized program for that person. So in a roundabout way, that's how we help those busy people.
Yeah, you jump into the conversation that's already happening in their heads. You jump into their already busy calendar and then find that window that you mentioned. And I think that's crucial because we're not aware of it. We just think we don't have time. And especially with that dialogue too, we're not going to have time if we keep saying we don't have time. But if we actually become intentional about prioritizing, right, and making and fitting the time in there, as you say, to do something in 9 minutes or to do something, do it between lunch instead of walking, going for coffee, go for that walk instead, right? Like being able to be mindful of like, okay, this is the goal and having these little small objectives to attain it.
Exactly.
That is very crucial. Tell us I know you have written out a blog that talks about, 10 tips for getting healthy right now. Give us a few of those, like so somebody that can apply immediately as they're listening to this.
Yeah, for sure. I can just blitz through 10 of them real quick if that will help.
Sure.
So I think we've spoken about it a little bit already, but the first point for somebody that wants to get healthy, it's the desire. They've got to have the desire. They've got to want to get healthy. So if that burning desire isn't there in the first place, then they're not going to get to where they want to be, but also they're not going to follow through with it as well. So the desire is the first point. And I think most people, when they do say they want to get healthy, they do have that desire. So, but it's really getting that burning fire inside of yourself to want to make changes and want to become healthy. So that's the first tip that I'd say, is get that desire.
Knowing your why, right?
Knowing your why. Always, mm-hmm. always. Yeah. The second one, moving on from that, is to set goals and to set, it's probably been overused, but set SMART goals, set specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, time-scaled goals. But don't just set goals that are 3 months away, set 3, 6, 12 months and beyond. So you'll surprise yourself how quickly sometimes you can achieve a goal. So you might set a 6 month goal and achieve it in 3 months. So when we're working with clients, we always get them to set 3, 6, 12 and beyond. So they've got a clear picture. I know you're big for visualizing goals as well. Mm-hmm. So they can see in the future where they want to be, but not just see it. What does it feel like? How is it going to affect them? How is it going to change their life? So really getting clear on the goals. The next mm-hmm. one for anybody listening that wants to get healthy is you've got to take some stats. You've got to measure. And this is where a lot of people go wrong. They don't measure where they're at now, but they don't measure their progress either. So the more data you can get down without getting overwhelmed or obsessed by it, the more data you can get, the better. So there's no real excuse now for not taking measurements, because everyone has a smartphone. Most people have a wearable piece of tech. Most people have access to scales, a tape measure. Everyone has a smartphone with a camera on it, so you can take pictures. So the stats that I recommend people to take are weight, tape measure measurements, photographs, and then start to track and measure nutrition and food as well. And there's many, many ways that people can do this. So measurements are really important. After that, the best thing to do is to get a workable plan of action. And again, this is where people go wrong, because they don't have a workable plan. So how can you expect to get a result, whether that's weight loss or getting fit, running a marathon, whatever the case may be? How do you expect to get there without a plan? It's like saying you're going to drive from San Diego to New York and you're not going to use a sat nav or a map or follow any road signs. It's just like stupid.
Right.
you've got to have a plan. And mm-hmm. for me, as I've already mentioned, a workable plan incorporates all the elements of health and well-being. So it's got to have mindset, it's got to have exercise, it's got to have nutrition. And then if you do want to improve your spiritual health as well, it's got to have that in as well. So plan is really important. My fifth tip is to take action. So once you've got the desire, you've set the goals, you took your measurements, you've got a plan, you got to take action. And that's one of the laws of the universe. The law of inspired action. If you don't take action, you're not going to achieve it. So take action. Mm-hmm. And that leads closely onto the sixth tip, which is building habits. Mm-hmm. And I know you're crazy on yeah. your habits, and they're so, so important. So when you start to take action and then you make small habitual changes, that's when you'll start to see the improvements and see the changes. Mm-hmm. So 5 and 6 are very closely linked: taking action, building habits. My seventh tip for people, if they wanted to get healthy right now, would be to constantly review your progress. This is really down to the individual, how often they want to track. When we're working with clients, coaching clients, we do it weekly. So we're doing the stats and the measurements and the reviews on a weekly basis. But if you think that's too much and you can't manage that, at least do it every month. So set yourself a date. So say it's Friday, the 1st of September, then you take your measurements, take your stats, and then on the 1st of October, you do them again. And then on the 1st of November, you do them again. And just start to monitor and track your progress. Constantly reviewing and evaluating your progress is super important. My eighth tip would be to watch what you put in your mouth. Stop eating crap. Stop eating crap.
Yeah.
The Western world, I mean, even in the East now, we're getting terrible. Like, they've kind of followed suit from the Western world, but in the States, in Canada, in Mexico, over here in the UK and most of Europe, what we're eating is terrible. It's processed food, it's convenience food, it's high salt, high sugar, high saturated fat. It's just dreadful. So you've got to start watching and being aware and being mindful of what you're consuming. So get closer to nature, eat whole foods, hydrate. Just really be conscious and aware of what you're putting in your mouth. I'm not going to sit here on my high horse and say, don't ever have a donut, or don't ever have some chocolate, or don't ever have a pizza, or don't ever have an alcoholic drink. I wouldn't say that, because if I said that, I'd be a hypocrite. But just be a bit more mindful of what you're consuming. Mm-hmm. My ninth tip would be to get support. So the support out there if you can't get support from a professional like a coach or a trainer or a gym instructor or a health practitioner, if you can't get support from them, get an accountability buddy. Get somebody that's going to support you, lift you up, hold you accountable when the going gets tough, because the tough will get going and it will try and bring you down. But if you've got somebody that supports you, an accountability buddy or a support system, you're going to have a higher chance of being successful with your health and well-being goals. And then my final tip to kind of underpin all of this and wrap it all up is to just enjoy it. A lot of people think that being healthy has to be a chore, or it's painful, or it's depressing. And it shouldn't be like that. You should enjoy being healthy. You should enjoy healthy eating. You should enjoy working out. You should enjoy moving. And the more you do it, the more you will enjoy it. So don't get bogged down. Enjoy it. Trust the process and embrace the journey. And you'll get a lot more from your health and well-being journey, if you do enjoy it. So they're my 10 tips.
Those are awesome. And on the note of enjoying it, then it becomes a lifestyle. So it's not a chore. It becomes part of who you are, right? Because then it becomes a part of your new personality.
Exactly.
Making it easier for you to do. At number 9, was it number, you talked about the support group, the accountability. Now that's what you and your team provide, right? It's that coaching, it's that accountability, but you can also help people with constantly reviewing their progress, right? Checking, getting the weekly weigh-in.
Yeah.
The weekly check-in. So that stuff, even if I didn't want to do it on my own, if I was to get a connect with you, then that would automatically happen on a weekly basis.
Exactly. I mean, the support system and the accountability, I'd say, is the number one reason why people work with myself, with my wife, with my team, because we can provide that extra level, that extra support system, that extra building block. And one of my coaches told me that a good coach spots your blind spots. So if there's something you're slipping up on or you're not seeing, a good coach will highlight that. And I feel as if that's something that we do. And that's what a lot of people respond to and a lot of people enjoy from the coaching that we provide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I want to touch on the build habit piece of it. I believe it was the sixth item you mentioned. And building that habit, do you find it that you have to start people with small tasks? You even have a program that you can start them in, 9 minutes, right? You have to find that you have to start them small and slow and steady to actually gradually so that they can keep at it and keep doing it, keep consistent.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we mentioned this when you came on my podcast as well, that as human beings, we're not good at doing multiple things at once. So we need to just take small incremental steps. And sometimes that is literally just taking one habit, implementing that for, it could be even a month. That person needs time. They need spoon feeding almost to make it ingrained in them and to make it a strong positive habit. So yeah, we tend to just work on one or two things at a time until they nail that and then move forward. But the way that we've built our programs run over 90 days or 12 weeks. So that's kind of the length of time that they run for. And with our program, the way that we've built it, it is a progressive program. So it can take someone from almost, without sounding too cheesy, from zero to hero. So if they are at the very start of their journey, or maybe they've not been doing it for very long, they can start there. And then by the time they get into 12 weeks, they'll be surprised and they'll be blown away by how much they've achieved, because the plan is progressive. It's a periodized plan that takes them from where they are now to where they want to be. And don't get me wrong, it's not a straight linear thing, because things happen. Life happens. We have hiccups. We have down days. We have up days. We have weeks where something doesn't change and we might not even get any results. But we have to know that, and we have to be flexible and then just ride the waves, follow the path, follow the journey, and know that you will get to B, or you will get to C, or you will get to Z, whatever it is, but there will be roadblocks, there'll be ups and downs. So that plan that we have, yes, it's maybe a systematical approach, you could say, but we know it has to be flexible as well. It has to be able to stretch and bend without breaking.
Mm-hmm. And what about the clients that are impatient? How do you instill patience and actually drill that they need to actually let the process work itself and not rush it, because you only know they're going to drop the ball because they didn't take the time to actually progressively build it?
That is a very, very good question. I would say with that, again, it's an individualized approach, but for people that are really, really impatient, this is where the mindset and some of the spiritual practices come in as well. First thing I'd say to people, especially when it comes to fat loss and weight loss, they need to realize that even if they are an impatient person, it's a marathon, not a sprint. Mm-hmm. It's going to take time. You can't just lose and drop body fat overnight. It takes time. I mean, you can if you do these stupid diets, like if you do just drink a juice once a day, then yeah, you're going to drop weight. But is that a healthy way of doing it? Absolutely not. So if people want sustainable, effective, safe results, they need to realize that it is a marathon, not a sprint. So I try and explain that to them and instill that into them. The other thing that I do with people as well is to, yes, measure, but not get obsessed with that data. So this is why we really utilize the photographs, the way that people feel, and not just the scales that they step on, because the scales lie and then people can get obsessed by the scales as well. So we look at many different data points so that they're not getting overly obsessed or overly impatient with, oh, I stepped on the scales this morning and it's still saying 200 pounds. I expected to have dropped 5 pounds or 10 pounds. And mm-hmm. we have to educate them and make them realize that it's not all about the scales. So that's probably the second way. And then, as I said, the spiritual practice is it's just being aware, being a bit more present. We try and coach this stuff in. And then something that we use as well that I know you use and you're big on is that gratitude. So just when they are getting impatient, just, okay, what things are you grateful for today? And then they kind of take themselves away from that impatient nature and they mm-hmm. realize that, oh, okay, things aren't so bad. It's going okay. I'm in the process. I've got a coach. I'm going through this journey and I have things to be grateful for and not to get too obsessed with the outcome.
Well put. I really like the way you broke it down into the three different parts for someone who is impatient. Let's talk about your habits, your morning routines. How do you get up, dress up, and show up?
Yeah, I mean, my morning routine is, and my routines in general, is something that I've been working on for a while. And I think that it's an ever evolving and maybe a never ending journey, so to speak. So I'm constantly tweaking and changing it, but my current morning routine looks something like this or sounds something like this. I don't wake up with an alarm. So I get up or wake up, should I say, between around 7 a.m. and 7:13. There's not much leeway. There's not much difference. It's between 7 a.m. and 7:13. I've kind of got it nailed down to a very small window of waking up. So that's my body waking up naturally. Yes, I know people get up at 4 and 5 and 6. That's their choice. Everyone's different. And that's the thing I think to point out about morning routines. Yes, you can have a set way of doing things. You can use your system, which I think is amazing. But also you've got to know that what might work for you might not work for the next person. So it's kind of getting into what works for you. So I wake up around 7. The first thing I do every morning is prayer. And this consists of, firstly, asking for protection. Secondly, thanking God. Thirdly, affirmations. So I have my own set of 5 affirmations that I say to myself every day that are my own personal affirmations. And then I have 3 affirmations currently that I'm using that are mainly related to my business and to my podcast. So I have kind of 8 affirmations that I say every single morning. After I've done that, then I journal. So my gratitude journal. So my journal consists of a 5-minute journal in the morning and 5 minutes before I go to bed. So in the morning it is 3 things that I'm happy and grateful for, 3 things that would make today great, and then 3 positive affirmations again. So before I've even really got out of bed, I've said at least 9 or 10 affirmations to myself. And right. Affirmations, as we mentioned on my podcast, and as you know, are just incredibly powerful. After I've journaled, then I usually make coffee. So my wife and I alternate. So we alternate between who makes the bed and also who makes coffee. So if it is my day for coffee, I'll usually head off to the coffee machine and I'll hit the button to make the coffee. And whilst the coffee is being made, I do some element of movement. So what that usually is it's usually basically stretching or yoga type movement. So it might be like a little bit of bending through the spine, a little bit of rotation. I might do like a few lunges forwards, backwards to the side, maybe a couple of squats. And literally it's just like 2 or 3 minutes of moving and stretching just to get everything going. The one thing I have missed that I didn't say is hydration, which I know you do as well. So that is one of the first things I do is drink water before I hit the coffee. Forgot to mention that. Drinking water as well at the start. So yeah, hit the coffee machine, do my stretches, go back into the bedroom, and then I will usually either get up or and start my day, or I will meditate. Recently, it's been meditation because I'm trying my very best to meditate every day. I wouldn't say it's every day at the moment, but I'm currently on about 5 to 6 times a week. So I'll meditate. It can be anything from 5 minutes meditation to half an hour meditation. But between 7 and 9 in the morning is like my time. It's all our time, mine and my wife Sarah's time. So that first 2 hours of my day is the time for me to focus on myself and do my rituals and my routines. So if I am meditating, I'll meditate and then I will get up and I will hit the shower. I start warm and then I finish cold. I'm currently doing a cold shower challenge with a friend as well. So hit the cold for anything again from 20 to 20 seconds to 2 minutes, depending on how I'm feeling. And then I go about my day. I start my day. We come into the gym, the office at the gym for 10 to 10:30 every morning. We've got kind of a very set routine. I cycle into work every day. So between 7 and 10 is really my time. Definitely 7 and 9. And then 9 to 9:30 is getting ready. And then from 9:30 to 10, it'll be cycling into work. So I've already done all of the positive stuff to start the day. So I've done my prayer, I've done my affirmations, I've done my journaling, I've hopefully meditated, I've hit the cold shower, and I've done movement because I've done stretching and I've cycled into work. So that is roughly there or thereabouts what my morning routine currently looks like.
I'm over here smiling because you're doing it right, Ollie. Yeah. You're doing it right. Do you find it you have more energy when you take that 2 hours for yourself? How's your day after that?
My day, when I do it like that, I wouldn't say every time, but I'm going to say it's a high percentage, 90, 95% of the time. I have a solid, productive day. And it's really interesting you should ask that question, because this week was a prime example of that. So as we record this podcast, it's currently Thursday. On Monday night, I had an awful night's sleep because in the apartment complex where we live, out on the street, there was some people, guys and girls, just shouting really loud, making all sorts of noise at maybe like 1, 2 in the morning, woke me up. And then my sleep pattern was all over the place. And I'm a person that's like really nailed in and dialed in with my sleep. So I woke up that day. And then on Tuesday, I had a coaching call at a time that I don't usually have it, because my client was going on holiday. She went on holiday to Greece yesterday. So she moved her normal time to early in the morning, which was 8 a.m. So I'd had a crappy night's sleep and then I had a coaching call at a time that I wouldn't normally have it. So it shot my routine to pieces. I was all over the place. And on Tuesday, let's just put it this way, I had a pretty much terrible day. I was short fused. I was snappy with my wife. I had a to-do list and I probably ticked off one thing on that to-do list. So that is a prime example of how sleep and a lack of sleep and a lack of routine can put your whole day out. So sleep and the morning routine are paramount. I mean, you know all about it. It's what you do. It's what you promote. But don't just take mine and Lynette's word for it. Just go and ask all the people out there that are doing it. Pretty much everyone I know that is successful looks after their sleep and looks after their morning routine.
Yeah, because it throws you off, just as it did on Tuesday, because you were out of routine. You didn't get that time on Monday morning to do your 2 hours of preparing, right? So it just throws you off. It's fascinating that to hear that, and I'm glad you brought it up. That's the power of the morning routine. That's the power of effective sleep, because the morning routine starts the night before. You got to get adequate sleep.
Absolutely.
To set you up for success. So thank you for sharing that, because I'm really honing in on the benefits anymore, right? Because we're doing the things because of the benefits we get, the results we get. We're not doing it for the sake of doing it. If you don't do it, you don't get the same results. It's that simple.
Yeah.
It's really simple. So Ollie, please, I've taken too much of your time already. Tell us, how can we connect with you? How can we find you?
Yeah, there's a few ways that people can do it. I mean, the first way would be for people to head over to our website, which is Kinetic, spelled K-I-N-E-T-I-K, Kinetic Fitness, spelled like fitness, F-I-T-N-E-S-S. And then it's .co.uk. So kineticfitness.co.uk. You can find out all about myself, about the gym, about the services we provide. And if people click on the blog and podcast section, they can listen to the podcast as well. Or just simply search for the Kinetic Fitness Show for the podcast, which is the T-H-E, Kinetic, K-I-N-E-T-I-K, fitness, spelt like fitness, show, spelt like show. If anybody searches for the Kinetic Fitness Show on any platform, Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, YouTube, if they search for it on all of those platforms, they will find it. And there's so many topics and so many areas that I've covered on there in relation to health and well-being. They'll find everything on there. And if people want to connect with me on Instagram, it's Ali West Coach, A-L-I-W-E-S-T, Coach, C-O-A-C-H. Follow me on there. Send me a direct message. I always reply and I can help people if they need the help. And the final way is probably LinkedIn. And it's just my name, Ali West, A-L-I-W-E-S-T on LinkedIn. Happily to connect with anybody that needs help and needs support.
Morning enthusiasts, you've heard it here first. This has been Ali West, and he dropped some knowledge today on great ways to get healthy immediately is to know what your desire is, to understand why you're doing it, and also just having a workable plan. And he and his team can help you put that plan together and help you take action and help you build habits and even like staying accountable and giving you that support that you need. Ali, you covered so much today. And one thing that I really picked that you do is when you're making coffee, you are stretching and getting the blood flow going. That is considered habit stacking. Like if you find a way to do something you already already your current habit, to add a new habit into it, so that it's like killing two birds with one stone. And the brain loves that. So I'm really thrilled that you were able to share that with us today, and really, really grateful for your presence with us today, Ali. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. And thank you so much for having me on. I really, really appreciate it. And loved chatting with you.
Yeah. It's been great.
Well, all right, morning enthusiasts. That's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.
Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.